Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to...
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and well. As suspected, it was going to be quiet on Monday, and it's going to be a quiet week, and not much to do. And of course, we had nothing really to drive the markets, nothing of real excitement to push us in any real direction. And of course, I expect it to continue. I mean, it may continue all the way through the end of the year. I don't see any major reason to get excited about anything. The markets are just kind of what they're doing, and it's not a major surprise. The drift higher or the melt higher, is what it is right now. And as we continue to watch and look for opportunities, again, it should not be of a major surprise to anybody what we're seeing, because this is what we've seen for quite a while. And, nothing has really changed to say that the market should start to go the other direction. I don't hide it that I think that we're well overvalued. I think we're well overpriced. But, of course, either way, I don't think that we should look for trouble. And when the markets are extremely quiet and dull and slow, is there really a reason to get overly involved there? And the answer would be no. I mean, what are you trying to accomplish here? If you're trading, you certainly don't want to necessarily be a buyer here, unless you're like trying to play momentum. And if you're investing, then, you're always investing in either case, and hopefully you're hedging so that you are, comfortably secure should the markets reverse and turn around. But the whole deal comes down to a very simple model. The markets are just quiet and there's no volatility and there's not a heck of a lot to get involved in. So why would we try to be overly involved here or overly aggressive here? That's one of the things that I always try to warn everybody about, is there's no reason for that type of aggression in a market that is not going to reward you, even if you're necessarily right. So it's easier to sit back and relax and not try to, be bigger or stronger than the market. And of course, we saw that in the gold market. Look what happened in gold. Gold ran up to that almost 1300 and then collapsed and got pounded, on Monday. And, oil is a little bit soft, was a little bit softer. But I don't see much going on anywhere. I think that you have to, again, watch and keep your, as they say, keep your nose clean, keep your yourself in position not to get, too crazily or too aggressive here in this market. Again, we've got a lot of things that are still going to drive it. And if you take into consideration that, what do we know for sure? That the markets are right now and have been for quite a while predisposed to go higher. So if we know that now going in, and we know that there's nothing going on, then most likely the markets will continue to go higher. Okay, and that is exactly the story. That is what we look for when we try to make trades and we try to do things, is we want to understand where is the path of least resistance. And if the path of least resistance is in a direction that maybe is a little bit extended, maybe you want to settle down a little bit and kind of watch and observe. And I think that is the entire business of what we're watching right now. And that's what I always try to explain, very clearly that, again, I'd like to be short, and I am a little bit short. But again, remember that I always say that as an investor, I'm always long. So I'm not interested in trying to get too big of a position here when we're, first of all, in a seasonal time of year that is typically stronger. We are also in a time of year that the markets continue to try to go higher. So what am I, why would I want to get in front of it? And that becomes the story is you can't pour force the market, never. And so what we want to make sure we're doing is continuing to be in position to do always what is in our best interest. And that would be being more neutral here, waiting for a better opportunity. And if you look at different products, you know, where would the opportunity come? You know, if you were in the grain markets right now, for example, what would the best opportunity be? Well, it certainly wouldn't be selling, of course, wheat and corn. Yeah, they could go lower. I'm not saying that they won't go lower. But if they go lower, how much lower are they going to go? Are they going to zero? But can they go higher? And the answer would be, yeah, I would think so. I think that if you were looking at oil here, I don't think it has much more room to go on the upside, but I do think it has a significant amount of room on the downside. So that's how I would evaluate things that I'm doing. That's what I look for. And then if you weigh in with the simple facts that now we've got, like, according to the media, okay, according to the media, we've got all kinds of good news, all right? Now, again, I don't necessarily agree with that, but let's just say that it's true. Well, how much more news, okay, can we get, all right? And that would be another thing that I would ask you is, okay, so if the news is really good, all right, that's fine. But is there going to be a lot more good news? How much better, if the news is as good as they say it is, how much better can it be? And that's something you weigh in as well. You know, if you look at something from just a pure analyzing a picture and you go, okay, so they've got a lot of, there's a ton of bad news, blah, 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 blah. There's a ton, or, you know, in this case, well, let's say in this case, there's a ton of great news, supposedly, but it doesn't matter what I think or not. The street is interpreting it as great news, okay? There's no reason to sell the market, and we're up, and we keep going up. So does it make sense to want to, first thing, does it make sense to want to get in front of that? And the answer would be no, not yet. The second thing is, do I want to participate? And then you have to weigh, well, where, how much farther do you think we can go? Now, again, of course, we could go up another 20%. Who knows what we can go up to? But, you know, from a statistical standpoint, the odds increase every day we don't go down a little bit. The odds increase every day that the likelihood of a sell-off is getting closer. Now, closer is relative. But it would be more of a dollars and cents ratio proposal versus an actual deal. So what we look at is we haven't had a 3% correction in over a year. Okay? We haven't had a 3% sell-off in over a year. So now, you know, you start weighing those probabilities. And again, but it doesn't mean that today's the day. What it means is that you be rested and ready. So when it does start and you can find a valid reason to get involved, you can then get involved. But until then, why would we want to think about getting involved? And that's, again, goes back to weighing the probability, because the whole market is a probability model. All right. That's what we're playing, is the probability, because unless you're investing and you're in for the long, long term, then if you're trying to trade it, then you have to play the probabilities. And that's what I teach in my high school investing class, highschoolinvesting.com. Check it out. We teach about probability, because what is life? It's a probability. So if you want to help me out, you know, I've been supporting the program for 6 years and I want to keep it going, but I'm running out of funds to continue to finance it myself. I get no pay from the schools. I get no sponsorship. I'm just now looking at patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. If you want to help me out, okay, we're looking to raise some funds so we can continue to educate our high school students throughout the country. We've got 300 high schools now. We're looking to get all of them. And we want to give it away to everybody free. But in the meantime, if you want to do that, that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. In the meantime, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every day at libertytalk.fm. And, of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more at the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Something to say to you. Welcome back, my friends, to the Bubba Show. It's Todd Bubba Horowitz here, and of course, it is Tuesday. It is 2 days before we get fatter, before we stuff our faces. And of course, it's another 2 days of these grinding, melting up markets. And again, I don't care one way or the other. I mean, you know, it is what it is, and that's the deal you have to play by. I think there's a lot of interesting things going on, and you see Janet Yellen put her resignation in yesterday. Okay, good. Good for Janet Yellen. I mean, you know, again, I'm obviously, if you listen to the show before, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Federal Reserve in general. I think they're nothing more than manipulating and pushing the problems away until somebody else can deal with them. I think that we've got some major, major problems. And until those problems get lifted, all right, and until they're solved, and I believe, in my opinion, the only way they'll be solved is by a market meltdown. And of course, we're headed in that direction. We can't say when, but I would venture to say that it's getting closer. But closer again, as I said earlier, is a little bit relative. But again, there's, you know, you have to flush out some of the crap. You know, it's like, you know, every day, you know, you got to flush it out a little bit. Got to clean out the system. And I think the system is full of bad stuff. I think the system needs a big dose of Metamucil. I think that the system itself is, you probably could use a good fleet, right? A fleet enema. But this is what happens when you have too much government involved. You know, I know the Fed's not the government, right? We know the Fed is private, but the government's involved, right? The government's involved in their own way. And this is one of the problems I have with President Trump. As you know, I supported President Trump. As you know, I predicted that he would win long before he ran. But I do have a problem with the way things are going now. And I think that I don't necessarily blame him for the problems. But I don't think that he stood his ground strong enough on a lot of the issues that I think he should have. And I think, to me, that's a bigger problem. And you know, I was hoping he'd be the one that would really stand his ground and go after these guys. And, of course, as I said about the tax plan, I don't think the tax plan shows me that Donald Trump went after him. It tells me that Donald Trump is settling for a secondary plan just to get the thing passed. Okay. So when I look at it, I think that, we have a problem because, again, if he's going to start to settle for less, and let other people convince him to settle for a less of a deal here, then I think that we're going to be in the same toilet bowl we've been in forever. And that, I think, to me, is the bigger problem. You know, I don't believe that we should ever settle now. I really think that he's the one guy, and maybe he still will be, and I hope he will, that we don't have to ever settle again, and he can, you know, stare him down. I think he's getting enough support, and I think if there's enough people out there that would support what he wants, and he can say enough. But again, you know, sometimes our ego gets in the way, and we want to make sure that we, you know, listen, I believe that he wants to be the greatest president of history for the things that he does for Americans, and I think he could do that. But I don't know that he can do it if he's going to settle for second best. And I think this tax plan is not even second best. I think this tax plan stinks. Okay. I think the system, I think it's starting to, I think the others are getting to him. I think the Senate stinks. I think that this bickering between all these guys is a joke. And how any one of them says has the nerve to say that they're doing everything for us, the American people, to me is a crock. Because every time they say they're doing something for me, I got to worry about what's going to cost me this time. And I believe that to be the bigger problem. I heard Patrick Byrne talking from Overstock.com about, you know, Bitcoin. You know, I have not purchased Bitcoin yet. I've not traded it myself yet, but I'm certainly thinking about some of it. But I have turned the corner and am viable to what it represents. And I think this is, again, one of the issues that are out there now is that people keep talking about, well, how the American dollar, the fiat currencies are backed by government. And I said, so what? What good is the government? You know, and somebody had mentioned, you know, that, well, the wages keep going up. Yeah, but our wages go up, but we have less buying power. I think that's, is that not the story? Yes, we have some higher wages, but the buying power does not buy what we could, what we used to be able to buy with less. And that, I think, you know, I mean, I guess, I think the biggest example would be, you know, is how many families have to have two parents working now versus past decades, right? You know, I think that, again, one of the things that we have to look at is the overall deal of everything. And, you know, if you look back in history, you know, many times and many for many decades, you could have one person working and one taking care of the home. And I think it would be very challenging and very difficult to do that today. So you tell me, how far is the money going? Does it go farther? All right. So even though I'm making more money, am I really making more money? And I would say the answer would be no. I don't think I'm making any more money today than I made 30 years ago. All right. I mean, you know, I could buy things 30 years ago without thinking about it. And I think that's one of the issues, you know, and listen, you know, it's a challenge all the way through. And I don't see how we can continue to ignore the problem of what the Fed and what they do has created. You know, this printing money is the classic of decline, depreciating what you have. And the best part of it all is we get to pay for it all on top of it through the hidden tax of inflation. So, you know, you ask why the Fed wants to have inflation. That's why, so that they can finance, so they can have us finance all their ridiculous spending. And that, I think, again, you can agree or disagree. I'm certainly open to anybody who wants to debate the issue with me. I have no problem with that. You can, anybody's welcome to come out anytime you want and talk to me about it. I could be convinced. I mean, I was convinced about Bitcoin. I didn't believe in it originally. I wish I did. But again, the fiat currency system is a phony system, because all I do is create more if they need it. So what does that do? If they create more, it makes mine worth less. So it appears that, you know, I'm making more money by the number, but am I actually making more money by the spending power? And at the end of the day, are you concerned about the number or the spending power? You want to be a vice president and make $10,000? You want to be a person that works there and make $20,000? Okay, that's the simple answer. All right. So is it something that we want? And again, I would say no. I don't like any of this. What's going on? From that standpoint, I think that we're in trouble. I think that that's part of the reasons that we are in trouble, is because we have too many people believe that, you know, everything they do is right. And just look at what goes on there. Look at what goes on with these the guys that are there, or the gals. I don't, you know, I haven't heard much about the girls yet. But, you know, we wrote about this a while ago. And I'll pick this up at the end of the show today, you know, because I want to talk about this. But I just, I'm asking you, you know, do you see the better of everything? Do you see the improvement in the economy? I really don't. And again, I'm isolated and maybe I'm out of touch. All right. You know, I mean, I go into a restaurant and I sometimes have a nervous breakdown, you know, but maybe I am out of touch. I can't tell you that for sure, but I'm used to one thing and I'm not seeing it. And I don't understand where we think everything is going to go and how it's going to get better until we make things better by creating the jobs we need, by creating the spending we need, by creating the everything else that we need. And I have not seen that. Me personally, I have not seen that. Now, it doesn't mean it's not happening, but I haven't seen it. And I'm telling you something. I see more issues than I see the good. And, you know, I want to see good. I mean, listen, I want it great for you, my kids, my grandchildren, my great grandchildren, you know, because me, I won't be here that long. So it don't matter. It's not going to change my life one way or the other at the end of the day. I mean, I'm old. So at the end, you know, but I want to see it better. I want the place to be better. I want the world to be better. I want the United States to be better than it was when I was here. And that's, I think, parents and adults' objective is always to make things better. But of course, that is not the objectives of our House of Representatives or our Congress and our Senate. And that's the problem. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz on a roll. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. and get the sporting edge on the weekends. And we're going to step out here for break. We'll be right back with a little bit of a Bill Whittle interview when we come back from the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and you know we haven't listened to Bill Whittle for a long time, and he got a pretty interesting spot on Roy Moore. Let's go check him out. Here we go.
Through their membership dollars. Well, gentlemen, I am not going to dig deep into the details of what's being alleged about the Senate candidate in Alabama, the Republican Senate candidate. At the time we record this, he's still in the race, as far as we know, and it's going to go down to the wire. But what perplexed me or interested me in doing a show about this was the idea of just how do you deal in this age of instant media where everybody knows everything all at once with serious allegations about a candidate just before an election. And so in a sense, we're kind of us and the viewers are going to play the part of Alabama voters in this to kind of wrestle with this question. You know, the allegations, of course, have been that Roy Moore was involved in inappropriate conduct of a sexual nature with minors about 30, 40 years ago. And he has denied all such allegations, says it's fake news and that he's under attack from the liberal media left and the Democrats. But Steve Green, how can we evaluate in general last minute allegations that affect how you vote before guilt or innocence can be established?
The same way we always do. And it's a political campaign. You don't establish guilt or innocence. You establish the character of the person you're going to vote for or the person you're going to vote against, as the case may be. This is not a court of law. That said, whether or not the allegations are true, the initial reporting by the Washington Post was solid reporting. It was airtight. That doesn't mean the women weren't making it up, but the reporting was everything you would want in a story this salacious, I guess would be the right word. But listen, I would gnaw off my own forehead before I would vote for Roy Moore. And that was before the Washington Post broke this story last week. Listen, this guy is a fake conservative. He's just no good. He thinks his personal interpretation of the Bible is more important than the oath of office that he's taken on three or four occasions now. He's a bad actor. He's old school in the very worst way possible. And our former boss, Roger Simon, made an interesting point this morning on our Hot Mic blog over at PJM. He said that Steve Bannon really is overplayed his hand, and this might be the end of him. In fact, at least as a power player in Washington, Sheldon Adelson, the casino magnate, has cut all ties with Bannon. By ties, I mean money. You know, the two of them had worked pretty closely together. Sheldon Adelson put forth a lot of money. That is gone. His candidate in Alabama, even if he squeaks by in an election, may not be welcome to sit in the Senate because the Senate can determine its own membership. This is a hot mess. You know, a year ago, we were looking at the election map and thinking, wow, there's an outside but very real chance that in 2018, with all these vulnerable Democrats in red states, that we could get a 60-seat supermajority in the U.S. Senate. How long has it been since anybody's talked about that in a serious way?
Well, in fairness to the Republican Party, my understanding is that that Judge Moore was actually a Democrat back in the 1970s. But let's be that as it may. Steve, I'd like to drill down a little bit. What do you mean by the Washington Post story was airtight? What are you saying there?
What I mean is the reporting was as solid as you can get. They dotted their I's, they crossed their T's. If you haven't read the original report, put on your reporter hat and read the story like an old school editor would, and I think you'll see what I mean. Don't take my word for it. Read the original Washington Post report.
I just didn't want our viewers to think you were carelessly praising the Washington Post.
Not carelessly. No, this happens. Not even blue moons. This happens about every other pope.
Well, Bill Whittle, if the allegations against Roy Moore turn out to be fake news, as he says they are, where does a candidate, it's kind of a two-part question, where does a candidate go to get his reputation back? And also, what can a party do, the Republican Party in this instance, to protect its own brand from such 11th-hour crises?
Well, first of all, you said one of the questions was how do you deal with these allegations as a candidate? And my immediate thought was, it depends on whether you did it or not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't do it, then I think the only effective response, if you didn't do it, is to express the kind of outrage publicly and continuously that innocent people feel when they're wrongly accused of false charges. I would just never let it go. I would simply, it didn't happen. They won't be able to prove it because it didn't happen. So that's what I would do if I was innocent. But that doesn't seem to be the case here. I don't know much about the details of this case, to be honest with you, in terms of how airtight the. But it's Steve's point about the reporting being solid sounds pretty good to me. So if it turns out you did do it, you really have a choice, although I don't think he's got a choice. We've been seeing so many of these sexual allegations scandals, and so far the only one that I've seen handled as well as these things can be handled was the one by Louis C.K., who was accused of all kinds of horrific kind of sexual, escapades. He wrote I don't know if it was a tweet or an article or whatever. He says, I've been accused of gross sexual violations by a woman named Beth, Sandy, Mary, and Sabrina, and one more who couldn't be named, period. These allegations are true, period. That's the first thing out of the gate. That's, if not an apology, but I mean, he's done. His movies are over. But because of the nature of that apology, I suspect he will eventually be allowed to return to society because he owned up to it. If he did it, Scotty, he can't own up to this. Obviously, it's the end of the, given the character that he's running on, it's pretty much over. So if I did it, see, here's the thing about guys like Judge Moore. He's not aware of the fact that the internet means that nothing ever can be buried again, ever.
Yeah.
It just can't. I think he's old school in that regard. You could make the case, well, what he was doing wasn't considered too awful back in the 70s, but you ask the young ladies how they felt about it in the 70s, they would tell you it feels pretty awful. So I don't buy that excuse either. As far as the Republican Party is concerned, if it were me, I would have a very close look at the story. I would confront Judge Moore privately with the allegations, with the specific details of the Washington Post story. And I would want to hear an extraordinarily detailed definition of why that wasn't true, which I don't think he can provide, frankly. If it turns out he couldn't provide it, then I'd say you're out. I'd just cut my losses and lose the seat, right? Because this is something we're accused of all the time. All of these sexual harassment cases were committed by Democrats. We didn't get airtight reporting on serial molester Bill Clinton. But
he's getting thrown to the wolves just a little bit now that DNC's ready to get rid of him and Hillary.
Yeah, 20 or 30 years later.
Exactly.
So the times are different. And if he did it, then I think he needs to step down. And if it turns out he won't step down and the Republican Party sure he did it, then they ought to run another candidate to a certain loss.
It's really disturbing, I think, on a couple of levels that, and again, I don't want to seem insensitive to this. I'm talking about the idea of what's happened here, not specifically the allegations against Roy Moore or his denial of those allegations, because I have no way of objectively evaluating the truth of either of those. But you've got these competing values. One says a person is innocent until proven guilty in the United States in a court of law. The other says that a woman who may makes allegations of sexual assault is telling the truth. I mean, it's very rare that a woman wants to expose herself to public opprobrium like this and to be shamed publicly when she's not telling the truth. Now, that's not to say there are, you know, there haven't been violations of both of those things. But in general, those two values are clashing with each other. Then you've got the time element. And, you know, in every movie that you see that's a thriller or an adventure movie, there's always the clock is the enemy. And the clock is the enemy here as it ticks down to this election, where people are forced to make a decision with inadequate facts in a timely manner. And think about this, though. Let's say Roy Moore stays in the race and wins. Then what do we have? Then we have an investigation in the Senate. You can't not have an investigation of the Senate. So the Senate has to convene its ethics panel and look into the allegations against Moore. And it's conceivable that the then elected senator from Alabama would be, for the first time since the mid-1800s, have essentially a trial to kick him out of the Senate. I don't think that there's any win in this situation. If you're Roy Moore and you did it, then the only honorable thing to do is own up to it and back out of the race. If you don't, things ain't going to get any better for you, Roy. So, I'm hoping you didn't do it. I'm hoping that the women were just confused, but it doesn't sound that way. And if we are going to be the party of, especially the conservative element of the Republican Party, if we are going to be the party of values, of eternal, long-lasting values, then we've got to do the right thing when it matters, not just Absolutely. Talk about it in the abstract.
And that is exactly the point, is that the right thing needs to be done all of the time, and not once you get caught. And of course, this goes back way, way back into, you know, hundreds of years of this type of abuse. And unfortunately, most of the time it was hidden underneath or on the carpet or under the club covers, whatever you want to call it. In the meantime, it needs to be rectified, and people need to be treated as people, and there should not be these abuses on anybody. And I think that's really the bigger point here. And it needs to be handled. It needs to be handled correctly, and it needs to be handled now. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we will be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Finally figured it out. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And as we end today's show, and, you know, I think that what goes on in the swamp is criminal. I think that I don't understand why they are not subject to sexual abuse claims and laws, and why they're allowed to have a slush fund to pay off those who they've offended. I think this is a problem that has gone on for a gazillion years in many different areas of the world. And I think it's time that we stop it. I think that, you know, I don't believe that we should be having those with charges like that. I think that they should be subject to anything else, just like an athlete or like anybody else that's in the public. Why would you want your congressman or congresswoman or senator or whatever, you know, male or female, depending on, it doesn't matter. Why would you want them representing you if they are guilty of these crimes that they are okay to get away with? I don't understand why we would want somebody there that could, you know, harm somebody in the way that they've done. And I think that it's enough. It's time. You know, they get enough fringe benefits, let alone without skirting the laws of this country. And I don't understand how we can accept the things that they do. I don't understand how we can accept and allow them to get away with the things that they do. I am concerned because listen, we all know that many of these things went on, you know, with, if you remember Harvey Weinstein up a couple of weeks ago, I mean, that was the old joke, right? It was the casting couch or whatever. But I don't believe that if you should be able to get away with that. And I don't believe that, you know, it should be something that should be tolerated. Now, I think we sometimes get turned over the other side, but I did not think that President Clinton should have been able to get away with it. He got away with either. But of course, his wife, presidential candidate or ex-candidate, Hillary Clinton, you know, used to browbeat these women into submission. But again, do we think that it's acceptable? I don't think it should have ever been acceptable. I think it was overlooked. But I don't think that, you know, we should have crimes being committed by our congressmen or our senators or, you know, congresswomen, either side. I think it's time to call it a day and let them live by the same laws that everybody else has to live by. Do you think I'm wrong there? I'm just curious. If anybody does, you know, shoot me an email. I'm not mad. I just, again, I don't like, I think that everybody should be treated on a fair and equal basis. And I don't think that somebody should be able to use either their physical power or their financial power to take something from somebody that they don't want to give, whatever that happens to be. And I don't like the fact that if you look at the blotter, if you looked at the police blotter of a big portion of Congress and a big portion of Senate, you would find that, you know, many of them are just nothing but criminals. And those are the ones that are making our laws. And you put them in a place of power. Look at what you're doing. And, of course, we've now got the thing with Franken and with Moore. Now, again, I don't know that either one of them are guilty. I'm not accusing. I'm just saying that if they are, that they need to pay the consequences like anybody else would have to. And to me, that becomes the overall bigger problem, is that they are not necessarily going to have to pay those consequences. And why is that? Why do they get special treatment? Okay. Are they doing a special job? Are they not compensated well enough? Okay. Do they not make a lot of money to begin with? Do they not get a huge retirement? Do they not have to deal with Obamacare? But yet they get these other special things that go along with the job. You know, the slush fund to pay off the people that they that want to sue them. I mean, is that really what we want in this country? I mean, I think that you have to look to where all the problems start with. And that would be spot number one, considering that they're supposed to be the lawmakers, not the lawbreakers. Now, you know, again, we've heard about these things in many areas, and I don't want to get into it because, again, I don't want to offend too many people. But, I mean, in many different areas and many different places. And quite frankly, I think it's time to stop. We know that the reason that many people got away with it in the past is because there wasn't the internet and there wasn't all this stuff. So, you know, a lot of these things come out later. But now, you know, listen, if you're doing things you're not supposed to be doing and you get caught, isn't that the way life should be? If you break the law, okay, if you're going to attempt to break the law, then shouldn't you be willing to pay the consequences if you get caught breaking the law? Okay, that's all. I'm not mad if anybody breaks the law. If you want to break the law, great. But don't fall back on and whine that you didn't get a fair shot like everybody else. I'm from the school. If you're someone who wants to go cheat on your spouse, well, if you get caught and she throws you out or he throws you out, then you shouldn't be upset. Okay. If you want to try to steal some, if you want to steal some sunglasses from a store in China and you get caught and got to go to jail for 10 years, well, you know the law going in. So why would you be an exception? That's what bothers me. Again, if you're willing to do something that is not kosher, right, and you should be willing, you should know what the consequences are before you do them, and know that if you get caught and be prepared to get caught, and if you don't, okay. I mean, again, I don't like that part of it either, but nobody should have a bitch if they get caught doing something illegal and have to pay the penalty for it. Okay. That's what I think. I mean, you know, the bottom line is, you either live by the laws. If you don't want to live by the laws, then be prepared to pay the penalty or the consequences of not living by the law. Am I wrong? I don't think so. I mean, again, anytime you're willing to do something, make sure you know what the price is that you're going to have to pay. And I don't think that it's fair that the House and the Senate don't have those same consequences that they have to live with. They can do a lot of things that are not kosher, so to speak, and they don't have to pay the penalty if they get caught. All right. Half of them don't even get voted out. So, again, it goes back to almost everything I talk about. Where's the fair and equal pay and fair and equal punishment and fair and equal things for everybody? Okay. I mean, you know, is it acceptable to go out and steal sunglasses? Is it acceptable to go rob a bank? You know, again, no, of course it's not. But, you know, they get away with things, and why should they? Who made them special? Okay, except they made themselves special. And isn't it time we decided that they should live on the same equal terms in life that we have to live on? I mean, you know, again, it sounds too simple, but certainly one would think that we should all have to live under the same laws that are set for everybody. And yet we've got a group of, 654 people, whatever it is, that does not. Now, is that reasonable? I don't think so. All right. And I think that they should, if you've done what they say you've done and they can prove it, then you should go to jail. You should lose your job. I'm still wondering what happened to that senator from Missouri, the state senator who wanted Trump's assassination. I always thought that was a crime. But apparently it's not. She's still a senator and she's still mouthing off. But that's enough for today. I don't want to fill you guys up with too much bitching. This is me. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. And, of course, make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. And if you miss it, and, of course, don't miss it. But if you do, there we go. And, of course, don't forget about my high school investing program. I'm trying to help educate financially the kids of our generation to make them better. And so it'll make our lives better later. And you can help me out by going to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And you can help donate there if you'd like to help out. And in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. And that'll do it for this Tuesday, November the 21st. We'll see you back here tomorrow on Wednesday. It's the day before Thanksgiving. And we'll be back tomorrow with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, everybody have a great day. Thank you so much. We'll see you later. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.